It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And if you hear some background noise, and it's because I'm not in the studio. I'm reporting from the road, literally. So I apologize for that. I am headed to Scotland, where I'll give a report from next week. But in the meantime, I'm afraid I am not in the WGN studio, so the quality might not be that great this time, but hopefully it'll be okay. I want to start off with talking about something from a very different perspective, and that is, of course, the tragedy of the fires in California, which are just so horrific, apocalyptic. However, I don't want to talk about it from the context of what's being covered in the news. I want to talk about it from the context of something we do on this show, which is wildlife, natural resources, and management. It is going to be absolutely devastating for wildlife throughout that region of California, not just in the near term, but in the long term. And this was totally avoidable. And I am now not going to sound like any of the broadcasters, I hope, but there, to the best of my ability to find in research, there has not been a prescribed burn carried out in Southern California in years. This is an area that obviously goes through wet and dry cycles, and when it's wet, the grasses grow quickly and they grow tall, and when it's dry, they burn out and they die and they lay there waiting to be burned. But there have not been for decades the prescribed burns that need to take place, nor the removal of so much brush. So as we talk about so often with forest fires that have plagued this country and now Canada, that's the result of absolutely horrible forest management. And the result of that is terrible wildlife management. The fires in Southern California are exactly from the same tree. They are the result of absolutely terrible management of our natural resources. And the resulting end is we are going to have just a catastrophic loss. We know what the cost in property is going to be, and obviously the incredible tragedy of human life, but we're going to have an incredible cost to wildlife as well. And after these fires have been put out and all these hillsides are laid bare, and they'll be laid bare not just for this year, they're going to be laid bare for years to come. The next thing we're going to have is terrible mudslides when the rains do return. So this is not a commentary on where people built, should they have built, any of that. This is a commentary on the fact that we have to manage natural resources or we have these kind of events. And the fires across the American West, which now are consuming about 250% of the budget that they have for fire service and have been for years, are the result of this terrible management, lack of management. And by the way, it is public forests, our forests, that are burning, not private forests. Private forests are properly managed across the American West, and they very seldom have fires. But in the case of what's happening in and around Los Angeles, it was avoidable. It's easy to look back with 2020 hindsight and say you should have done this, you should have done that. However, it's the result of the environmental regulations that have been passed in California. So California has been known for years to have extremely stringent environmental regulations. This is part of the price for that. They couldn't do burns because of air pollution. They couldn't do burns because people didn't want to have the smoke. Well, you have to do these things or you're going to get the consequences we now have. So in many ways, it was the extreme environmental rules and regulations that California over time has put into place that led to this event. And so most people that I've talked to in natural resource management would never let anything like this get to this point. And you think about the management of forest lands and grasslands in the southeast of America, throughout Georgia and Florida. There are prescribed burns every year, and the environmental community screams about it because of the air pollution and the smoke, and they say it's untenable. Well, what's really untenable is that they don't manage those pine forests in the low country of Florida and South Carolina and Georgia and the grasslands. What's really untenable is if they, instead of having small prescribed burns every year, you have massive burns. And that's what's happening in California. So I know all of our hearts go out to everybody and our prayers for what's happened there. The lesson, unfortunately, is this was largely avoidable, or it could have been contained on such a smaller scale if they only had put into place the proper natural resource management that was required. And going forward, they're going to have to repeal a lot of their environmental laws, or they're not going to be able to do the kinds of things that are required. It'll be interesting to see what happens. So far, California, for the last 25, 30 years or more, has been on a one-way track of ever more extreme restrictions on the management of natural resources. No grazing, no fires, no cutting, all these things. It'll be interesting to see if that state now does 180 and listens to people who really know what they're talking about how to manage natural resources and permits the kind of things that need to be done. Otherwise, I'm afraid what we're seeing now, we're going to see again, and it'll just be somewhere else. So California is way behind the curve on this, and as tragic as this is, it can be avoided again in the future, and frankly, it largely could have been avoided now. That's the really sad part of it. Before I go to the break, I do want to talk about a trip I just made to the Atlantic, where I was working on a project to do with the Everglades. And in a way, it ties into what I just said. The restriction on natural resource management that's occurring in Florida as well has had a huge impact on the Everglades and the quality of wildlife and water and the huge inflow of nitrogen and phosphorus coming into the Everglades from the sugar farms that are heavily subsidized by the United States government. That's not a political fact. That's a comment. That's an actual fact. Florida Big Sugar, as it's called, it's not subsidized by the government in the true sense that the government's sending a check. What we have is an artificially high price on sugar, which we're going to talk about much more in the coming months as the shift in focus turns to the Everglades, as a report has been released, frankly, indicating that if in the next decade the Everglades is not saved, it's lost forever. And I don't think we want that to happen, and that's not an environmental alarmist report. That's a report from a very solid scientific prognosis on studying the Everglades. They're being starved of fresh water, and the water they're getting is so loaded with nitrogen and phosphorus. A lot of it from golf courses in southern Florida, a huge amount of it from the sugar farms in southern Florida. So coast to coast, California, it's the fires. Florida, it's the other extreme. Well, neither one of them have enough water, but Florida is the other extreme. The water is so contaminated, it's killing the Everglades. When I come back from the break in just a moment, I do want to talk about an interesting study that's being done on beach dredging, which affects not only life in the Atlantic, but also here in the Midwest. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go, worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, I apologize for the background noise. I actually am in a mobile WGN studio today as I'm on my way to Scotland. And I will have a report from Scotland next week. But in the meantime, I hope the quality of this is acceptable for all of you listening. More on the Florida for a second before I shift to the Wetland Reserve Program and the upcoming Congress. So the coastline of Florida, particularly the East Coast, is being maintained through dredging of sand out in the ocean, which is being brought in on barges and then is being rolled out on the beaches of Florida. This is something, by the way, which we're all paying for as we sit here in beautiful Illinois today on a wonderfully frigid January morning, and we think of people on the beaches in Florida. That sand that's coming to those beaches in Florida is complements in part by us paying taxes to send the money to do it. It's a little-known secret, but that's a fact. So what's happening in Florida is not only the intercoastal waterway has been dredged and dredged and dredged to provide deep enough channels for boats, and that is causing the loss of all kinds of grasses in the inland water, intercoastal waterways, St. John's River, all the way through the areas of Florida that so many of you are so familiar with. And for those of you listening in Florida this morning, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So that dredging has displaced the natural soil bottom of the that was there. And with it have gone all the invertebrates and small animals and many plants and aquatic life that live there. The same is true on the beaches. So when you're standing in Miami Beach or standing in St. Augustine or wherever you might be, might be Jacksonville or Vero Beach, the entire coastline of Florida is being maintained through dredging out in the ocean and bringing the sand in to maintain the beaches. Otherwise, lots of places, including Mar-a-Lago, wouldn't be there today. They would have already been consumed by the Atlantic Ocean. So the reality is we have a situation in Florida where we are now really adversely impacting the fishery, particularly the snook fishery, to the extent that many people worry that it won't be there in a few years. And for those people who have been in Florida for a long time, they use something called baseline relativity. And that is, I'm fishing in Florida now, or I've been a fishing guide there for the past 10 or 15 years, and I have this time frame, if you will. But someone who fished there 80 years ago would have had an entirely different time frame. So baseline relativity is based upon the time period in which individuals use their resource. And in Florida, the baseline relativity with the huge population increase and the explosion of fishing guides is really relatively short. So they think that the fishing might be decent. However, in relative terms, historically, it is profoundly terrible. And Bonefish Tarkon Trust is working actively on this to try to correct the problem, particularly for bonefish, tarpon, snook, permit, which are so degraded by the draining and the dredging that's taking place and the cutting of the mangroves. So Florida, for all of its beauty, when you stand on the beach, you have to realize those beaches now are being artificially maintained, and they're being artificially maintained with sand that's coming in from the ocean. So where that sand is being dredged from is upsetting the ocean bottoms. And then when they put it onto the beach, of course, they're burying the life that was there. And one of the really important elements of aquatic life on all beaches are sand flies. They don't bite you, but they are critical to the ecosystem. And the entire coast, East Coast of America, is seeing a loss of sand flies wherever dredging and sand is put on. So the next time if you're there standing on a beach on the East Coast and you look at the miles of beautiful shoreline, chances are it's being replenished from time to time by us. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. And the extremely expensive houses that populate the entire south coast of Florida, a lot of them would have fallen into the ocean. And the only thing that's saving them is the dredging that's taking place. But the dredging that's taking place is also having a hugely impactful impact on the quality of the ecosystem, particularly as it relates to fish. And Florida's fishery is plummeting, unfortunately, right before our eyes. In just a couple minutes I have left, I want to talk about the Wetland Reserve Program at 25 years. 25 years ago or thereabouts, Congress came up with the incredibly great idea of WRP, Wetland Reserve Program, which was very simply to take lands that should not be farmed and take them out of production permanently and put them back, and these were riparian areas almost all, so areas that add to soil erosion, that add to nitrogen loads in our river, that add to flooding, and to put them back into natural habitats. The problem with the Wetland Reserve Program was it did not permit for a lot of active management to take place. In 20 to 25 years or 15 years, depending on when people enrolled in these perpetual easements, is a long time. And there have been an incredible amount of invasive species, invasive plants, trees that have moved into these areas because there was not the management provided for them to do really well. So the Wetland Reserve Program is under review. It should be modified, and we'll get individuals on the air in the spring as it moves forward. But a true discussion as to one of the great conservation programs that we have put into place through the Department of Agriculture. And yet, when it came into being, it was a great idea. In hindsight, it's still a great idea. However, we need to be able to manage these lands. And the contracts that were so, in many cases, restrictive on management because the government didn't want people to graze or do things on the lands, now we know that a lot of those activities that are actually prohibited should be done to sustain these lands, not only in the decades, but frankly centuries ahead, because perpetual easement, as a friend of mine says, is a long time. It's like forever. So I thank you very much for being with me this morning on the Great Outdoors Show. I'll be back next week with a report from Scotland, of all places, in January. Hopefully it's not as cold as it is in Chicago this morning. Hope you have a great week in the great outdoors. Thanks so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.